In Romans chapter number 1, let's start reading with verse number 28. And we read the remainder of the chapter. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. Well, the Bible said, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." You can be seated. And let's pray together. Father, thank You for the reading of the precious Word of God this morning, for the songs that have been sung in the choir, the specials. God, I thank You, Lord, for the people of God that have come to the house of the Lord on this Lord's Day. Now I pray You might undergird us with the power of the living Christ, and may the Word of God ring forth from our voice and from our vocal cords, and not from our head, but from our heart through the Spirit. God, may it be anointed and directed. Lord, may it be sent to this proper soul, to the right channel, Lord, to the right heart. Lord, may this Word today preached be receptive and not rejected. Lord, may we accept what the will of God is for our life. May we preach as and proclaim as You'd have us to. Then, Father, I pray, may we listen as we need to. Lord, may we receive with joyfulness in our heart the things of God. May somebody be birthed in the family of God. We'll give You the praise, the glory, and the honor, for it's in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen and amen. Now, I don't know if you could add much more to what's already been said in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. That's a lot of sins, is it not? Amen. A lot of things are going on in the lives of people. I'd like to bring a message this morning on something like a godless society. Brother, we are living in a godless society. Amen. When I see and hear the things that I see and hear in the news, the newspaper, and I hear it on the radio, the things that are going on, and then I compare it with the Word of God, I certainly have to say we are living in the last days and some dark hours, some of the darkest hours that the saints of God have ever lived in the day of grace. That's what I'll say. They may have lived that way in the days of Noah, but I'll tell you right now, brother, we are seeing the darkest hours that we've ever seen. Brother, it's not going to get any better. I wish I could tell you this morning that it's going to get better, and that there is a light at the end of the tunnel for the society, but I want to tell you the light of the tunnel is for the saints of God in the rapture. Amen. Now, I want to tell you this morning, I'd like to tell you that the world is going to get better and get better, like a deacon of a Baptist church told me one time. And he said it's going to get so good and so better that there's going to be a utopia put upon the earth. And he said we're going to start having a great time. And he said the kingdom's going to be ushered in, and said it's going to be glorious. I'd like to dig him up this morning and ask him, amen, about it now. Brother, I guarantee you, it doesn't change his mind. Amen? And he's on the other side now. Now, I want to say something as we look at the Word of God this morning. I want you to look at this. We're not just living in a time when men are rejecting God. Not just plain rejecting Him and refusing Him. We've got the place that they are actually denying God. In my last years, and I'm telling about the last, I'll just say 10 years of preaching. It's been back further than that. But in the last 10 years, I've heard more about atheists and agnosticism than I ever heard in my entire days. I remember as a boy, I'd hear about an atheist, and I'd scratch my head and wonder what an atheist was. And then that become more defined in days as it passed on. And I begin to understand what an atheist is. An atheist is somebody that says there is no God. We got proof and evidence in the world. We got proof and evidence in the Bible. We got proof and evidence all around us that there is a God. But the atheist stands up on his flat feet, looks God in the eye, and said, "I don't believe You exist." Brother, he's got that thought. And here's what God said about him. He said in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God calls him a fool. Now we know that people are going about and saying those sort of things in these days. Amen. That there is no God. Amen. And what he's saying is, we have no need of God. Now we've got not only the atheists, but we've got the agnostics. Brother, they're running rampant upon the earth from to and fro. And the agnostic says, well, there may be a God, but you can't prove to me there is a God. Well, I take my Bible. Well, the Bible, what's that? That's the Word of God. Well, it might be the Word of God, but you can't prove to me that it's the Word of God. That's the eternal book of God. It may be, but if you can't prove it to me. They've got this business of question marks and they question everything. If God is in it in these days, they're questioning it. So am I right? That's the way it is. And then we come along and we've got the infidels. You know what I call the infidels? They're the in for hells. That's where they are. That's where they're going. And brother, they're the ones that deviate from the Word of God and everything and teach their own little rotten doctrine. And we're living today, and I'm just giving you things that you already know. I'm just bringing it back to your remembrance. I'm trying to get you to know where we are. And brother, I'll tell you, we're in a godless society. And as we go back and look at this from the Word of God, brother, I want you to know that people are going to and fro and they could care less. They've come to a place that they feel like they pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. We've come out of the dark ages. We've learned better. We've got educated. Now we know more about this thing than God does. And now we don't even need that little myth thought of God at all. We can live our life without God. We don't need God. We don't confront God. We don't talk to God. We don't live for God. We don't want God. Away with God. And that's what this world's saying. I'm talking about the world as a whole. Preacher, not me. I would certainly hope this morning nobody in this building has that thought. Amen. I would like to think that everybody in this building knows God. Amen? We have come so far in society and we've got so advanced according to this wicked world that we have come to place that now we no longer need God. But you know, before we ever got to the place that we thought there was no God, before society ever thought there was no God, you know why we got there? Because we throwed away one little thing this morning called the Word of God. Brother, when you throw that away, you see the Bible has no place in society anymore. They don't want you carrying it in public. They don't want you reading from it in the public. They don't want you quoting from it in the place of business. They want the Bible now. If you're going to use the Bible, take it to your house behind the closed doors. You can sit down and read it, but don't bring it out in the public and let it overflow onto somebody else. You can do what you want to with the Word of God. Is that not what the world says today? You'd have all the Bible you want. You'd have all the church you want. You'd have all the God you want. You'd have all the Christ you want, but don't put it over on me. I get offended for the name of God to even be mentioned. That's why they want to take away "In God We Trust." That's why they want to take away everything and they're taking away the Ten Commandments off the wall. It's not because they detest that. It's because the Word of God convicts them in their heart and the Word of God causes them to see that they're lost and undone without God. And it's the Word of God that shows them that they are sinners. Amen. I know I'm telling the truth this morning. Now what's happened? We've come down to the business of modern churches. Now our modern churches, you know what they've done? They have traded out the Word of God for some kind of a perverted book. A lot of churches. And I'm not telling you to do this morning. Matter of fact, I don't want you to do it. But if you did, if you got in your mind that you're going to go next Sunday to another church and the next Sunday to another church, and on Sunday night go to another church, and Wednesday night go to another church, and you tried every church that you could find, didn't make no difference about the denomination. You do like everybody else and kick off the denomination. As far as I'm concerned, brother, I'm a Baptist, but I'm Baptist by choice, and the Lord got me first. Amen. But there's a lot of things about the Baptist. You hear me knock, amen, and the Baptist ain't right. Just because I'm Baptist and I got it capitalized don't mean I'm going to heaven, amen. I'm going to heaven because of the Word. Capitalized starts with the same letter B, and it's blood, amen, saved by the grace of God. Amen. And so I want you to know this morning as I stand before you, you can go to every church you want to. You listen to what they do, how they do it, and how they worship, and I guarantee you, you'll be scratching your head within 3 weeks wondering what in the world is right and where you ought to be going. And brother, you'd be so much in a turmoil, you and Noah, ones are preaching the gospel over here. You go to another church and they're preaching the gospel over there. Then you go to another church and they're preaching the gospel over there. Then you go over yonder and they're preaching the gospel over there. And every one of them will tell you that their church is right and we're not deviating from the Scripture. We are standing strong. Our preacher preaches the Word of God. And when it's all said and done, you're going to scratch your head and say, which one of them is right? We've got different ideas and different thoughts about what the gospel really is. Amen. Now, am I right or wrong? Right. I know I'm right. Amen. Brother, you can do that if you want to. You can take my word for it. But if you want to try that, I say it'd be hurtful to your Christian character. It'd be hurtful to your Christian testimony. But you go out there. What's happened is we have modernized our churches. Brother, churches today are not loony. They quit looking like churches now. They build a building now and it looks like a dwelling house. Amen. They don't even have that. Well, you said, preacher, it's not the course the way the building is. I know it was in the Old Testament. God wanted the temple built a certain way. God wanted the tabernacle built a certain way. I believe He wants His churches built a certain way. Amen. I don't know who come up with a thing about it, but they did meet in houses and they did get out and they got their places. But I'll guarantee you can tell them from a different from a dwelling room or dwelling house. Now, with that said, we've changed our churches, they've become modern churches. And what we've done, we fill the pulpit with what we call hireling preachers. And our churches have been filled. You see, we're living in a godless society, and I'm going to tell you why we're living in a godless society. Because we have modernized our churches, and secondly, we put hirelings in the pulpit. Preacher, what in the world's a hireling? A hireling is somebody that you get your billfold out and say, we'll pay you this much, this is your salary, preacher, and all we expect you to do is to preach and to carry on business, and we'll take care of all the things that has to be done. Amen. And I found out all they mean by that is they'll take care of the business. They won't even, listen, they won't do what they're supposed to. They won't visit the hospitals. Amen. They won't sit down there with a doctor when they're cutting off the toenails so that and they can't cut their toenails off. Amen. They won't be sitting there with the sick and afflicted. They expect the preacher to be there. But yeah, preacher, we'll take care of the business. It's the kind of business they won't take care of. Amen. And I'm not telling you we need this kind of thing. We do. Preachers shouldn't have to do anything but preach. I've been hammering on that a little lately. Amen. And all he should be required to do, preach. Amen. Feed the people. Feed the flock. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, it's hard to feed people. I talked about this in Sunday school this morning just a little bit. When everybody's got their own ideas about where they want to go eat, what they want to eat. Just imagine this. Preacher's got to get down and say, Lord, we got service on Sunday morning. Now, I don't know who's coming. I don't know what's going to be there. I don't know what they're going to be in, what kind of mode or attitude. I don't know what kind of mindset they've got when they come to church. I don't know whether they're mad at their wife or mad at their husband or mad at the kids or mad at mom and daddy. I don't know whether they're mad at this and that. And I don't know where the car's been skipping all the way and maybe where the dog bit them when they went out the door. I don't know what kind of attitude when they come to the house of God. They may have just went over the closet and got their halo off and put it on their head and pulled it off the closet and come down and sat in the church. And they may be full of demons and devils. Amen. You said, preacher, I didn't know saved people could be possessed of demons. They can't. But amen, some of you may have told him two or three on your shoulder in here this morning. Hear me? And then the preacher gets down, Lord, you know what they need? Now, Lord, give me tomorrow's menu. And I get down and begin to pray. And God said, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. He puts it in. Boy, I'll tell you right now, brother, it's hard to feed people who don't want to eat. That's why I appreciate you folks. You like to... I preach it, and I'm glad I can come to this church and preach anything that God puts on my heart. And I don't have to argue with God and say, no, not this time, not today, not this time. How about next week? But not now. I'm glad I can come to church and preach what God says preach. Amen. I'm glad of that. But anyhow, what's happened? We got hirelings. We put the hirelings in the pulpit. And what he's doing, all he's wanting to do is collect his money on the payday. And take his money. I believe you ought to support the preacher. I honestly believe that with all my heart. But I don't believe the preacher ought to be one that will preach according to what you pay him with. Amen. I don't believe you ought to be for hire. If you can hire a preacher, you can fire a preacher. Brother, I believe God puts the man of God in, takes the man of God out. And brother, I believe we'll just hold it that way. Now listen, we have got our churches now modernized, and we put our hirelings in. And then what happened when these hirelings, where do we get these hirelings anyhow? Brother, the devil manufactures them. Sometimes mama manufactures them. Sometimes daddy sends them. Amen. Mama calls them, daddy sends them. Amen. I've seen that over and over in my life. But then where we get most of ours in these days is we are manufacturing them up in the seminaries. Amen. And brother, what we're doing, we're producing preachers off the assembly line just like we're producing automobiles on the road or on the assembly line in a different country or different parts of the state. Amen. Somebody said they didn't want to buy a car that was made on Monday. Amen. Everybody had the hangover. So I believe we got a lot of preachers come out of the seminary on Monday. Amen. We got them. It used not to be that way. Now, brother, we've come to a place, and I don't know any Bible colleges. I tell you right now, I'm scared to recommend any Bible college to anybody today. You said, preacher, you ought not to feel that way. I do feel that way. I remember a time when I could give you a half a dozen or a dozen churches, not churches, but colleges that I would recommend people to go to. But I don't want to put my hands on anybody to recommend them anywhere in these modern days. Even the ones that I think might be fairly decent, brother, I read things that I don't like to hear. And I'm saying they're going to bleed over onto the people of God. Amen. You said, oh, preacher, I don't particularly like that. I know you may not like that, but I'm telling you, we are producing them in the seminaries just like that today, like automobiles. And they're put in our modern churches, and our modern churches are filled with hirelings. And now we're living in a time and a day that we're in a godless society. Now, should not today we be better off for God than we've ever been? I believe we're living in a time of more smartness than we've ever had. I'd like to think that we know more about God than we've ever known. I'd like to think that modern day preachers know more about the Bible than we've ever known, because we've studied and we picked up off of the old timers, and we've got what they've said, we've got what they preached, and we can take that and build on it. And the Spirit of God just keeps adding to it. And brother, we can work our way around in the Scriptures, and brother, we can explain things like we've never explained before. But why is our society this morning worse than it's ever been? Goes back to our pulpits. A lot of it does, not all of it, but some of it. We're not going to blame the church for all of it. We're not going to blame the preacher for all of it. Amen. We're not going to do that. And then we got what we call theologians. Boy, everybody likes a little theologian thing. He's a great theologian. Amen. When I think about theologians, somehow I think about Kellogg's and cornflakes. And I don't know why. I can't put them together, but every time I think of theologians, I think about Kellogg's and cornflakes. I guess it's just big terms or something. Amen. Now, you don't ask me to explain that. I can't. But that's what I think about every time. But we filled our pulpits with these theologians out of the seminaries. And here's what they've done. They've took this little blessed book that I hold in my hand, and they've twisted it to make it read what they want it to read, to make it say what they want it to say. They have sliced it up. They have cut it up. They have torn it apart. They have dissected it. They've got up and said, a better rendering of that is this. And they'll say, in other words, this is what God is saying. And they won't quote and tell you exactly what God says. We're living in a society, a godless society, that, brother, have twisted and torn and pulled apart the Word of God. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. God preachers that stand in the pulpit, they will not believe it themselves. They have disbelieved the Word of God, and they preach their own ideas. You see, this pulpit's not my place to preach my ideas and my philosophies, but my job this morning is to preach the Word of God and tell you what Christ says in His book, and to tell you what God wants. You see, this book is God-breathed, and God wants His breath on you, and He uses the Holy Ghost of God to breathe on you. When the man of God's preaching, it's my job to breathe on you with the Spirit of God, the Word of the living God. It's my job. That's my job to do. Amen. And brother, I'll tell you what I feel. I get feared. I fear. I was reading in the book of 1 Corinthians. And Paul said he preached with fear and trembling. And I've read that many, many times. I know this is not on the message, but it sure does correspond. And there's times I get down. I don't know why it is. But every time I have to stand in this pulpit or any other pulpit, I get a holy nervousness like I've never had before. I just wish you knew how the preacher feels when he stands up. Knowing, and I did a while ago, I get in the service. That's why I don't remember some of the things and get in the place. That's part of it. Sometimes I'm just plain old. But part of it's because I've got my mind on what God wants me to preach that morning. And brother, I'm praying, God, and I stand before this group of people every time I get up. I'm as nervous can be. Brother, I'll tell you what, I just about sometimes do anything than get up to preach. And you know I love to preach. I've told you, have I ever told you I love to preach? Amen. Have I ever told you that? Oh, yeah. Oh, you said I've heard it so much I don't want to hear it no more. I love to preach the Word of God. But I want to tell you something, I fear and tremble. You see, I stand up in this sacred book, or this sacred desk, and take this sacred book this morning, and it's my job to declare unto you what thus saith the Lord. And I know I'm going to answer to God for what I say. And your soul may be standing in the balance this morning, and the way I say it or don't say it, or what I say and don't say this morning, may have a determination in your soul of where you're going to spend eternity. And your soul is in my hands. Brother, that makes me fear and tremble. And so I pray this morning, God, give me the message. It's a hard job to fill the shoes of the man of God in the pulpit. Brother, I've learned that down through the years. But I know I've got to preach the truth. But we filled our churches with these hirelings that twist the Word of God, that warp the Word of God, that change the Word of God, to alter the Word of God. And that's the reason our churches and people have fallen into apostasy. Because lots of times these hirelings that we get out of the seminaries and put them in the pulpit, they're apostates to start with. They don't even believe the Word of God. We've got preachers in Baptist churches today that will not preach the true Word of God. They're preaching all they know about the Word of God, but they're not preaching completely what they ought to be preaching about the Word of God this morning. A lot of it's because of ignorance. And a lot of it's because of, you know, lack of dedication on their part. And a lack of study. The more they study, oh, the more they're going to know about the Word of God. I believe that. They'll come out and say, "Well, preacher, or people, a better rendering of this verse is this, and I like this translation a little bit better." Now, beloved, I tell you, I'm hung on one translation. I'm hung on one Bible. You said you tell us that all the time, and I do. And I'll continue to tell you that as long as I'm here. I'm a King James Bible man. I don't study out of anything else, and I don't preach out of anything else. I have looked at some of the others to see what they had to say so that I can get up and knock them on the top of the head. Amen. That's right. We got that little book on the King James versus the NIV. I did not buy an NIV Bible. I did not borrow an NIV Bible. I did go, well, I guess in no sense, I guess I borrowed it. But I went down to the library and checked it out. That's before they had computers up to snuff like they got them now. Amen. Now you can take your computer and go online. You can find what any version has to say in just seconds. But I went down to the library and got that NIV. Brother, I tell you what, I was ashamed to bring it home. But I had to have it for the purpose. Sit down, put it in there. That book's been out many, many years now. And nobody yet has argued with the facts in it. Nobody has come. They've argued with what I said. They didn't like it. They got upset. But nobody has argued with the facts that I put in there because it says exactly what I said it says. And I had to do that. You wouldn't want me to get up here and get myself in trouble. I'm telling you, I'd do that on any others, but I'm telling you, that's the only time I use a different thing. Brother, I don't even want to hear it. A preacher used, I don't want to hear it. Amen. I believe we ought to study out and preach out of it. So much for that. But they twist it around. Oh, we got a better translation. We don't believe in all the King James, not just like you. Hey, and if you do, you got to be out on the limb. Now today, if you carry a King James Bible and that's all you preach, they'll say you're crazy. You need yourself a psychiatrist. That's what they'll tell you in these days. Why, preacher, you've been hallucinating. You're out of touch. You're out on a limb. It's time that you come to the modern times and growed up. That's what they'll tell you in these days. Amen. Call me what you want to. But I'll tell you what. I know what the Bible says. These theologians, these philosophers, these psychologists. Brother, we filled our pulpits with them. And they're trying to go out psychologically and tell people what to do. I took psychology in Bible college, and I know what it is about psychology. Amen. A little bit about it. I'm not too good at it. But I done found out the psychologists ain't either. Most of them are on pills and have to see psychiatrists herself. And then when they give you an answer, they don't give you a Bible answer. They will not tell you. Somebody said a Christian psychologist. I read what a Christian psychologist told somebody the other day. I was reading that and I looked at it and I said, he didn't even give him anything about God, but yet he is a Christian psychologist. Didn't even give him one verse of Scripture. Brother, back in my day, we didn't need psychiatrists. The preacher was a psychiatrist. Back in my day, we didn't need psychologists. The preacher was a psychologist. Amen. Back in our day, we didn't need the lawyers. We needed the preacher. He was the lawyer. Amen. I'm talking about the Word of God. He settled the differences. Amen. Now we got so many of the church folks going to law with one another, trying to find out how we're going to get a penny. Back 100 years ago, people worked for a living, and they didn't try to go out and find out where they're going to get a nickel or a dime. Amen. Somebody said, I don't like all that. It's all right. You'll get over it. Amen. It's some of them broccolis that I don't particularly care. It's some of them Brussels sprouts that taste bad every once in a while. But you just chew on them. You just have to swallow them or spit them out. You've got the choice. Just make sure I don't see you spit it out. But go ahead and put your hand up and spit out what I preached this morning if you don't like it. Or swallow it and swallow real good. Amen. When you get home, take your little drink of tea. Wash it down. Get you some water by the fountain as you go out. Maybe that'll help you before you get home. But we've got these folks filling the pulpits. And then they get up and they say, now, ladies and gentlemen, I read over here where it said that the Israelites went down through there and that God had brought them out of Egypt. They'd put the blood over the top of the doorpost and down the side. Oh, they'd spoil the Egyptians that night and got a few things. They'd took off and now they're headed out. And they get down the road, and they get a little ways, and oh, they're already feeling good in the heart because they got out from under the Egyptian bondage. And all of a sudden they look, and there's nothing but a big portion of water. And there it was, mountains on one side, mountains on the other, and Pharaoh's army is behind, and they don't know what in the world to do. Now that's what it said over there, and some of these people, they don't understand that. But with my knowledge, and I went back and checked the history books and all that. And these theologians and these little crackpots standing in the pulpit come from the seminaries. Guess what they said? Well, it wasn't just exactly like that. Actually, they was at a place at the Red Sea where there was just a little... It was down called the place called the Mud Flats. It wasn't but about 6 inches deep of water. And all they had to do is cross over 6 inches of water. And they'll explain all that away. But then let me tell you, the Bible said that God put a wall of water on this side and a wall of water on that side, and they went down through the middle. Brother, on each side there was mountains before they got there and walls of water on both sides. And the Bible said they went down on dry ground, and when they got the other side, they didn't sit down and pick the mud out between their toes. They dusted off their feet and kept on traveling for the glory of God. Then the Bible said Pharaoh's army came down, got down in the midst of that, and listen, they wasn't in the mud. They're still on dry ground, and God run the Egyptians so hard that the wheels fell off. He had to give them a flat tire. Amen. Must have been driving a Ford or something. But anyhow, there the wheels fell off. And when they got out to put the wheels back on, all of a sudden God pulls the water down over the top of them, and they drowned it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a pretty good sized miracle. But I'll tell you what, the theologians got to look at it too. I'll tell you, you can see a miracle either way you want to go. I believe they went down a wall of water. I tell you what, it's amazing to me that the chariot wheels got stuck in the mud and then it fell off. And guess what? The whole Egyptian army drowned in 6 inches of water. Amen. Now these people are so smart. These people are so smart. But they've got up and twisted the Word of God. Now we know what God said. I believe it. Somebody said, I just can't accept that. Well, I can't. If you can't accept that, you'll never be able to accept that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, took all your sins, laid them upon His shoulder, and died for you and your sin, went to the grave, and then rose on the third day and justifies you through His blood this morning when you say, Father, forgive me. You'll have a hard time believing that too. Well, nothing comes along and said, preacher, I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a little. Let me just paraphrase it. I get tired of people saying paraphrase. Sometimes I catch myself saying it and want to box my jaws. But listen, I hear them say, I want to paraphrase it. In other words, I want to put it in my words. A preacher does do that when he preaches, really. Amen. And you know why? You got to put it in the way you don't understand what it's saying, so the preacher's got to paraphrase it for you and tell you what he is saying. But you got to make sure that the Spirit of God is telling the man of God to tell you the truth. You've got to pay attention. Listen, it's not the man and his theology. It's not the man and his wisdom. It's the man and the Spirit of the living God that makes a difference this morning. Now listen. He said, let me just give you this thing. They said over there that old Jonah, he was over there and he got on the ship and going down to Tarshish. And the ship got in the sea and the sea got in a rage. The storm come on. And they found out it was Jonah and they threw Jonah out. Now the Bible said, or these folks say, well, it said a great fish. God prepared a great fish to swallow him. Another place it said a whale. And somebody said, I just don't know what's right. I don't believe a whale can swallow a man. And others said, I don't believe that there's a big enough fish in the ocean to swallow a man. But I'm going to step out on a limb and tell you, brother, your goldfish and your goldfish bowl can swallow you if God wants it to swallow you. I mean, get you in the goldfish bowl with it. You said, you that crazy? If that's what you want to call it. Now, you don't believe that? I see some of you looking around and saying, I sure I believe that. I want to tell you, God said, Mr. Goldfish, open your mouth. I'm sending a backslidden preacher. And brother, that'd be the biggest load he's ever carried. And I still believe God fixed enough room to swim around in there with him. Amen. You hear me? You said, boy, you believe God can do anything. That's what I've been preaching for years. Wake up! And they said, this is just that, Jonah, it's just a little myth. Just four little chapters. Put it off to the side. Throw it away. No, it's the Word of God. I preach it. Amen. Well, you know, it's kind of like this preacher, you know. This is what the modern preacher get. They get in the pulpit. Boy, I ain't got nowhere where I wanted to be. Guess what, preacher? You know, they talk about Lazarus. Said old Lazarus is down there. Said he had been dead 3 days. 4 days, excuse me. He'd been dead 4 days. And they said, by this time he stinketh. Well, preacher, it's kind of like this. We run a reference on that and we checked it out. And you know they didn't have the modern medicine like they have today. What had actually happened is that Lazarus had slipped into a deep coma. And they went down and buried. They thought he was dead. They thought he was dead. They wrapped him up for dead, put him in the tomb for dead. And then what happened is, Jesus come down there and you know it said, he had a loud voice. He said, Lazarus! And it scared him to death and he woke up. Now isn't that something? People can explain away the Word of God rather than believing it. Now, we got people in our pulpits that are doing just exactly that today. Amen. The old preacher, uptown preacher says now, don't you go down yonder them little hillbilly fellers. Don't you go to them preachers and them churches where the old hillbilly gets up and while all they do is want to holler, ain't. And said all they want to do is shout and say hallelujah. And said, ain't none of them been to school. You'll catch that in a minute. Amen. You hear me? That's what they say. Matter of fact, they've even said that in some of the places of business. Somebody went to the place of business not too far from here, spent the night here, and they told the fella at the counter, he said, where's a good church? And they said, what about this Bible Way Baptist Church? He said, oh, you stay away from them. That's a place of business right here, not far from here. And he said, when he said that, he said, that's where I'm going to go. And he did and said he enjoyed it. He told us what they said. So they uptown telling, don't you go around that little crackpot outfit today that holds the King James Bible and believes God does anything and everything. A preacher business here the other day, and felt sorry for him, and he got there. He's feeble. And as he got to leave, he got in his car, and I walked him out in the car, made sure he got in his feeble, put him in the car, and he'd give me a lot of literature and talk to it. And he looked at me, and he said, now, preacher, I said, God's been blessing us, and He's touched us, and I thank God for what He's doing here, and I do. I thank God for what God's doing at this church. I appreciate every one of you folks. I love you with all my heart, and I'm telling you that, and not just telling you. Thank God I can say that. I can go home knowing I love you. And here's what happened. He said to me, he said, well, preacher, you'll be all right here at this church as long as you don't put King James on your church sign. And I thought, if you drive out, I hope you see it. Been on there for years. You said, why would you put it? I want everybody to know that we're King James Bible churches. There's people that's looking and longing for that kind of church. Well, they don't have to worry about what version is the preacher going to preach out of this morning. I don't know what Bible I've got to carry today. As far as I'm concerned, there's not but one Bible. And that is the King James Bible. We'll hold to it. Amen. I thought it was kind of funny. I didn't say anything to him. I thought, he's so feeble, he may not be able to see the sign. Amen. Now what we've got, we've got this crowd comes out and said, hey, we have got a world without a God. And we have got a creation without a Creator. And now we don't have a reason for living. We don't even have a reason for life. Did you know these people hold all that? They're so tangled up and mangled in their spiritual life, they don't know which way is going. They don't know whether they're going forward or backing up. They don't know. They just can't tell. Amen. We're living in a society, a godless society this morning, that they got problems that they can't solve. They go to the psychiatrist and he can't solve it for them. They go to the doctors and the doctors can't solve it for them. There used to be a time when everybody took everything to the preacher, and I'm not trying to look for a new job. Amen. I got plenty to do. But I'm telling you, there used to be a time when people would go to the man of God and said, man of God, tell me what God wants me to do. And they would do what God wanted them to do. But now, they'll take the psychiatrist, the doctor down the road, and they'll take the doctor, Bible stopper, the theologian down the street over the little man of God that knows what to do. Some of you in here will have to make a decision. And you'll run to your friends and your buddies. And you'll run to that and over yonder that don't even know God and try to find out what to do. There's three places you are to look for some help. Number one, on your knees before a holy God and asking the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to show you. Number two. And number three, go get the man of God to pray with you that you'll make the right decision that the Holy Ghost and the Word of God tells you to do. Put the psychiatrist out of business. Put the psychologist out of business. Get the Christian counselors out of business. Amen. I'd hate to pastor a church that had 15 counselors in it, and every one of them giving different advice than what I give from the pulpit. I've had that to happen, not particularly in psychologists and counselors, but I've had it in Sunday school. I've had them teach one thing and I preach something else. Brother, I'll tell you what, that ain't easy. Something's got to give. Amen. Deacon in the back one day, one of the churches I pastored, he was teaching in the back that he'd always been a teacher. Brother, you go in and you inherit some of that stuff. Brother, it takes a while to get that out. And he had been there. He'd been a teacher. They just kept electing him every year back into it. And he began to teach right opposite what I was preaching. When he come over my house one day, he said this to me. He said, preacher, I love to hear you and your wife sing. I said, well, thank you, brother. So you know where I'm going with this. And he said, preacher, tell you the truth, I could sit up all night and listen to you and your wife sing. I said, well, God bless you, brother. You know, my little ego got to stirring, my head got to swelling. And I said, oh, praise God, maybe he's not as bad as I thought he was. And he said, preacher, tell you the truth, I love you singing better than I like you preaching. My ego dropped. But then he said, and that's what he came for. He said, "Preacher, I despise you preaching, but I love you singing." You said, "What'd you do?" Kept preaching to him. Amen. Didn't know what else to do. Amen. Never did get it changed, but anyhow. I'm telling you, we're living in a society today when nothing's right, nothing's wrong. There's no absolutes. Our morals are gone. Our standards are gone. There's no hope. There's no ambitions in the people. We're just floating down the scene of time. And brother, we're going down the creek without a paddle. Amen. The church is turning to drinking and doping, living like animals, with no responsibilities and no absolutes in their life, and no one to look up to, or at the same time have any accountability to. Now we've got our degreed and our trained preachers who are hirelings in the pulpit, which end up being modernists and liberals. They're leading the congregation in the pulpits, preaching the wisdom of man instead of the wisdom of God and the power of God through preaching. That's why we got church members getting quiet in here. Have you got through before I did? Now we got individuals going home. Can't talk right. Can't walk right. Can't live right. Filth coming out their mouth. Trash coming out their mouth. They're saying the Bible's nothing more now than just a leather book or just a book with a leather cover. It's just paper and ink. Now that might be all yours is, but I got the divine library in my hand. I'm amazed every time I open this book that God, as big as He is, sitting on the throne and His Son on the throne with Him this morning to His right hand, can give me a heavenly library. Now you know what? Let me just tell you something. I remember the first computer I bought. Went in debt. My wife didn't want me to buy it. She said it's foolish. It probably was, but I bought it. Paid money for it. All it could do was, if anybody knows anything about it, all I know to do was do a little programming in BASIC. That's a long time. You know a little bit about BASIC. Some of y'all don't know what BASIC is. In other words, I'd sit there and I could tell it, I could put in a number, and here it is. It'd sit there and count it all the way up and get to, and I had them doing all kinds of things like, nothing really good. My wife said, "That thing will never be no good to you. Just a bunch of... I put it in my bedroom." She said, "Just a piece of trash. Just money you spent for it." Then they come along. They're big, big old things. And now, you know what? They come around. You put them in your pocket. Everybody got these iPhones and the smartphones that you got. They're computers. And now they come out with a little wrist watch phone. Here it is. I mean, and it's a computer. And they say, "Look, you got worlds of information. The whole wide world is on that little piece of information." Well, let me tell you something. I got more than that. I got a whole universe. Amen. Between two covers on a piece of leather this morning. Thank God I got the mind of God, the heart of God, the home of God. Amen. The holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God. I got all that in my book and hold in my hand. Man thinks he's so smart. He's got him a little watch he can look at. Amen. And he can see across the world. I got a book I can look in and I can see the whole universe. Glory to God! Isn't that good? Praise God. I'm glad I got that. Praise be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now, it's a blessing to stand up here before you and I look over you and I say, praise God. And know at the same time that I might be preaching to somebody in China, Oregon State, California, Washington, D.C., Iraq, amen, Afghanistan, France, Germany, Hawaii, Isn't it a blessing? I got the book of the universe. And I opened it up and preached to him. And I said, praise God. Why would God smile and look on a little church, a Bible Way Baptist church, to most of the places in this county, it's a nothing. It's a no. You mention Bible Way Baptist church to some folks, and you better duck or pucker. Why would you want to go to that little church? Why would you want to get involved with them? And they laugh at no telling what people say when they drive by this place. You understand what I'm saying? But I tell you what, I'm glad we can open the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to quit. I'm just going to have to quit. I can't finish. I'll just quit. Let me ask you this morning, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Does this book mean something to you? I want to preserve. I still didn't get into talking about a godless society. Amen. I just got the introduction to. Amen. Let's stand. Just got the introduction. I still didn't get into the text. I left my text this morning and took a long time. Listen, I still didn't talk about them sins down there. That God's turned them over to a reprobate mind for. I still didn't talk about the ugliness and the awfulness and the terribleness that's going on in our society. When God's being refuted, when God's being refused, when God's been rejected. Let me ask you, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Let me ask you this morning, can you take yourself back to the time when the Lord Jesus moved in your heart? That you confessed your sin and He saved you? How about it? Can you go back to that time? What's your number? 307? 307 in the red book, please. Let's see. The altar's open. Would you come this morning?